Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, today we're going to talk about an article that was written by Elizabeth Weil in the New Republic, newrepublic.com.
Right.
Link is in the show notes. But it is entitled, American Schools Are Failing Nonconformist Kids. Here's How. Mm-hmm. And she writes this in quote, in defense of the Weil child.
Right. The Weil child being?
Her daughter.
And met Max from
right.
The Weil Things.
Where the Weil Things are, yeah. Right.
So the kids. And
the pictures are great.
Right.
There's some pictures in it that are based upon the Where the Weil Things Are book. And I'm looking forward to this discussion because I think she brings up some good points, but there's some things that I think we should think twice about.
Talk about.
Yeah, that she mentioned. So her argument is, sort of to put a bottom line to it, her argument is that many of the expectations in schools are set such that kids are expected to have a set of skills that they may not be developmentally prepared for, or may not be necessary in any other setting except for the school setting.
When I first read this, I chafed a little bit while I was reading it because I was thinking, well, wait a minute, you're just asking everybody to just tolerate your daughter's misbehavior.
Right.
And that's sort of how it started to read initially. As I read the article completely and thoroughly and thought about it, I said, well, actually, this is a very helpful perspective on the whole issue of self-regulation.
Yeah.
Because what offended her was they had a meeting. She and her husband had a meeting at school.
Yeah.
And the teacher was saying, well, she doesn't do this and she doesn't do that. And maybe she should see an occupational therapist.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as soon as you start taking children to professionals, what bothered the parents is that the blame was being placed on the child.
Right.
Okay.
That there's something wrong with her.
Exactly. There's something wrong with your child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when I read it from that point of view, I agreed with what she was saying, is that let's not blame the child. You remember that study that was done, back in the 80s, about school psychologists, and they did 50 school psychologists, and 100 school psychologists, and each wrote, I don't know.
I don't remember how many there were.
There were thousands of recommendations.
Right.
And they parsed them all out. And in 0% of the cases, was it the teachers?
Right.
When 0% of the cases, was it the curriculum? In 0% of the, was it inappropriate rules and regulations?
Right.
Okay. In 10% of all cases, it was the parents' fault.
Mm-hmm.
And in 100% of all cases, there was something wrong with the child.
Right.
It's just how we think about this business. And so that's sort of what she's saying here, is that we have this tendency to lay blame at the feet of the children. And what she's saying about self-regulation is, this is the latest way that we're doing it.
Right.
I never thought about self-regulation. I think self-regulation is a good thing.
Right.
I think it's good for all the things we've talked about this week. Mm-hmm. It's good for learning and it's good for behavior. And you have to be able to self-regulate if you're going to function in society.
Right.
I never thought of the downside of it.
Right.
And she did.
Right.
And she's saying, it's okay, but just remember the other side of that coin is you're blaming the child.
Right.
And let's question everything. Maybe the child's in a monotonous, you know, what we've done to schools with no child left behind. And schools are not pleasant places to be anymore.
Right.
So as adults, we have to think carefully about structuring schools so that they're distasteful and odious and stress-filled, and then say, well, now your child can't regulate, so we have to do something to your child.
Right. Yeah, I think that my concern with it was similar, because I think that we tend to, one of the things that we've talked about many times is that we have a problem with
the way in which expectations in schools continue to increase. Okay. And that, you know, we have, you know, second graders who are doing fourth grade material and fifth graders who are doing seventh grade material and
kindergartners and writing
sixth graders doing algebra and things like that. Kindergartners doing book reports. So we have a problem with that. And I think it wasn't until this article and some of the other things that we've talked about this week that I really started to think about those issues in the terms of self-regulation.
Right.
Because to me, that was always just as an educational issue.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an issue of expectation, and that the expectation exceeds the child's ability.
The expectation's inappropriate.
Right.
Okay. It is inappropriate for most five-year-old boys to do a typical kindergarten curriculum. It's an inappropriate expectation.
Right.
Now the boys can't do it, but suddenly there's something wrong with the boys. And in that regard, she's absolutely right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And again, I think it wasn't until this week that we were going through some of these things that I started to think about that as a self-regulation issue as opposed to just a mismatch between development and expectation.
That's right.
But I think that I worry that some of the things that she talks about goes a little bit farther than that, because then it's, if you have a classroom of 25 students, you can't sort of have a set of expectations for some who can meet them, and then with the others kind of, you know, we're expecting too much. And it, you know what I'm saying? It's like she's sort of advocating this idea of, hey, some kids can't do this, so let's not have these expectations, behavioral expectations and all that. When, as we've talked about earlier this week, you know, there's nothing wrong with expecting, and it's perfectly acceptable to expect a third grader to be able to stay in a seat for a period of time, not for as long as sometimes they have to, but at some on some level to be able to meet the expectations of the classroom and to be able to, you know, sit quietly for a period of time and to be able to, you know, not call out, not yell out, not to do some of that stuff.
Well, I think, never mind. Keep going. We can't set up our schools with inappropriate expectations.
Right.
And then pathologize. And right. I think that's the other thing these parents were concerned about.
Right.
To send the child to an occupational therapist.
Right. Exactly.
To pathologize what is not pathology.
Right.
Okay? It's like saying, well, if you're left-handed, when I was in school, you weren't allowed to be left-handed.
Right.
Okay. Or not when I was in school, but a few years before I was in school, you weren't allowed to be left-handed.
Right.
And teachers worked mightily to switch kids to, they pathologized that there was something wrong with it. And so I think we need to be very careful that we don't have inappropriate expectations. One of the things that's happening in schools today is we talk about getting kids ready for college and career. And we say, well, you know, not everybody should go to college. In fact, not everybody does go to college.
Right.
Okay. And yet the entire curriculum from kindergarten on up is all designed to go fast track.
Right.
Let's start algebra in middle school. I have sixth and seventh graders taking algebra.
Right.
They have no business taking it. I don't care if they can do it academically or intellectually. They have no business doing it then.
Right.
It just doesn't, I'm sorry, it just doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Okay. There are a handful of children who can handle an accelerated curriculum. Mm-hmm. And I mean a very small handful of children can handle it.
Right.
Most children can't. It's developmentally inappropriate. And you can push all you want, but just because you make a law and just because the legislature said that you have to do this, it's not going to make it a reality.
Right. And so as I was saying before, you know, it's one thing to expect a third grade boy to sit down for 5 to 10 minutes.
Right.
It's something different to say he needs to sit down for 2 hours quietly.
And or to,
and you can't, because a boy can't, a third grade boy can't sit down for 2 hours, say, well, there's something wrong with that kid.
There's something wrong with the child. And
right.
That's what she's saying.
Right.
Because
it's
not necessarily something wrong with the child.
Right.
It could be something wrong with the expectation.
Right.
It could be something wrong with the atmosphere in the classroom. It could be something wrong with the way the teacher and the child interact with each other.
Right.
We have to consider other explanations before we pathologize. Easiest thing to do is blame the child.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. So. That's a Well, as you were saying earlier, that study from the 80s, that was the default, was that it was there was something wrong with the kid.
All the recommendations were written for the child.
Mm-hmm.
They were all written for the child to make some change.
Right. So, and I think that that's one of the reasons why we write some of our recommendations the way that we do, and it's the reason why some schools don't necessarily like some of the things we write, because I am perfectly fine with writing, this is a curriculum disorder. You know, there is a mismatch between the child's perfectly well-developed skills and the expectations of the curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, unfortunately, many schools have a hard time with that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it is what it is.
You know, the other thing about this article that I find, and I'm going to have to look at it more carefully, I love Paul Tough.
Right.
I mean, I really like what he did. But she raises a legitimate question when she says, if we say it's about grit and character, again, you're blaming the child.
Right.
Okay. Now, as long as you have a way of developing those things and you develop them patiently, I think we're okay. I'm thinking that's what Paul Tough wanted to do. But I need to go back and take a look at that.
Right.
At what this author is writing. And I make sure I understand it completely. Mm-hmm. But then we go down to these words in bold capital letters.
Yeah, yeah. Don't eat the marshmallow yet.
She's funny about that.
Yeah.
Or I think it's a she. Yeah. She's funny about that.
Yeah.
Well, it is a she because she talks about her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, the marshmallow test.
Yeah. So the marshmallow test is a classic psychological test that looks at delay of gratification,
right.
Which is another way of saying self-regulation.
Mm-hmm.
So you put a kid in a room with no distractors, very dull, plain room. You put a marshmallow in front of them. Say, if you want to, you can eat the marshmallow now.
Right.
But if you can hold off, or you don't eat it,
right.
don't eat any of it, until I get back, I'll give you two.
Yeah.
That's and so it looks at the child's ability to delay gratification.
Have you ever seen the video of the study?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Gosh, those poor kids.
they look like they were being tortured. The one kid that licked it, he's like, I didn't eat it. I just licked it.
Right.
And the one kid that would pick little pieces off of it and just... very creative in the ways that they would mess with it. But that is getting to the idea of self-regulation and grit and some of those things. And... you know, and she has some particular opinions of this study.
Right. Safe to say she doesn't like it.
I think that's safe to say. Yes. So, but it is a classic test to look at delay of gratification. And like you said, I want to go back and look at the Paul Tough's book again, right. and the work from Angela Duckworth. And all of them to
Alfie Cohen,
To kind of look at that again from the perspective of what she's saying, and she even mentions Tiger Mom in here, and because I think that it's different, I am having a hard time articulating it, but I think that one of the challenges I have with some of it is. We are again talking about two camps. It's not one or the other. There are some kids who can do all of this. To whom all of this applies very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
There are other kids, perhaps, that it doesn't.
Right.
And I agree with her that we should not assume that all kids can.
Right.
But at the same time, I don't think that it's appropriate to take away all of this because some kids can't.
Right. Right.
Does that make sense?
That's a curriculum question. You know, what is the average kindergarten student able to do?
Right.
You know, what is developmentally appropriate for five? Remember, kindergarten students, half are boys and half are girls, statistically. Not what the girls can do, but what the class can do, boys and girls. And so I think that's a curriculum question. You know, what is appropriate at each age level?
Right.
I think it's absolutely ridiculous that middle school students are taking algebra.
Right.
There's no need to do it. It's a financial consideration for the schools. They get more money if you have kids taking algebra. Doesn't buy you anything.
Right.
Buys nothing except bragging rights. It just doesn't buy you anything.
Right.
It's not necessary.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to have an accelerated high school math curriculum. The problem is those kids get to high school and they only take two or three more math classes. Right. No, take another four math classes.
Right.
Start teaching calculus. But you know what the college people say? The high school students just can't handle calculus.
Right. Not the way that they need it.
The way they need it. And what happens is they take calculus and then they go to college and they can't take calculus because they don't have enough of a background in it. That's what engineers are telling me.
Right.
Engineers and mathematicians are saying, you're just not ready to crunch this stuff when you're in high school. So why race to be done with math in 11th grade? There's just not, you're not gaining anything.
Right. Yeah. So I think that it's, I think she makes a lot of good, important points here.
She does.
And I think that we do have to resist the urge to pathologize and to, you know, say that there's something wrong with the kid. But to me, the answer isn't, again, taking all of it away. To me, the answer is more akin to we need to create a little bit more or acknowledge a little bit more of the gray as it relates to what our expectations of kids are. I think that the reason why schools are the way that they are and that we have book reports in kindergarten and algebra in middle school is because the expectation is that's the goal. That's what we want our kids to be doing. And so because that's what we want our kids to be doing, ideally, that's what educators want our kids to be doing, ideally, that's set up as the standard, you know? And as we're seeing that as the standard, because as you said earlier, the expectation is that everyone's going to go to college.
That's
even though we know for a fact
that most
40% don't.
Right.
And of the 60% that do go, only 60% of them graduate with a bachelor's degree.
Yeah, so most are not going.
Most are not going. And
many who do have bachelor's degrees can't do anything with
it.
And so we say that.
Right.
And yet the curriculum does just the opposite.
Right. So if that's what the education system has set up as the goal, then it's going to, you know, sort of work backwards to reverse engineer everything that needs to happen to make that happen.
That's right.
And we need to recognize that there are a lot of people who will not go to college, who don't need a lot of these things. And if they don't need it, then the variability, as she kind of talks about with her daughter, will be a little bit more acceptable. I use that word loosely, but it'll be more easily tolerated because we don't have to have third graders sitting in their seat for 2 hours while we teach them a subject that they'll never use
or keep a kid in a high school class learning Shakespeare when he's going to quit when he's 16 or 17 years old
and wants to pointless. Build houses
be a welder
So I think that as we have to shift what we're identifying as the ultimate acceptable goal and realize that there are a multitude of acceptable goals, and we have different avenues that have to be taken to get those two different goals.
That's right.
And if that's the case,
that enormous variability is what we have to account for.
Right. Because if that's the case, if we do that, then everything that she talks about here would be fine.
Because right now, kids are being punished for not being able to meet these inappropriate expectations.
Right.
They're being held back. They're being criticized. They're being sent for testing. They're being put on medication simply because they can't achieve an inappropriate expectation.
Right.
Look at the increase in kids with ADHD.
Yeah.
Change the curriculum and the rates of ADHD are going to go down.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
Everybody in this field knows that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But when you ask kids to do things that they're not developmentally able to do, something has to give.
Absolutely. All right. But read the article.
Read the article.
She does a nice job of writing it. Plus, the pictures are awesome.
Of these kids with those
I think that's her daughter.
Costumes on.
I wonder if that's her daughter. All right. So that is it for today.
Mm-hmm.
Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We'd be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening, have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning.